Let's start. This is Parsha. We all know it's Parsha's Bereishis. It's a new beginning. Chumash Bereishis is called Sefer HaYoshar. Sefer HaYoshar. The first Rashi in the Parsha. Omar Rabbi Yitzchak Lohoya Tzorech Lahaschel Lesatora Elo Miachodesh Hazel Lochem Shehi Mitzvah Rishoina Shenitztavu B'nei Yisrael. The Torah really should have begun in Chumash Shemos. In Parshas, Bo Hachodesh Hazel Lochem Rosh Chodoshim Umatam Posach Bereishis Mishum Koyach Masav Higidli Amak. Kadosh Baruch Hu wanted to reveal his awesome deeds, the Maaseh Bereishis. Law says Lohem Nachlas Koyim, to reveal it in order that they should have known, they should recognize that Hashem, it's Hashem's decision that they should inherit Eretz Yisrael at the expense of the nations of the world being removed. It says in the Torah, Kola Oret Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Creator is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Hashem is the landlord. Hashem decides when the lease is up. Hashem temporarily gave the land to the seven nations of Canaan. They have sinned. Hashem have decided that they should be removed. And a Klal Yisrael who have accepted the Torah shall possess the land. Okay, there's a lot of Torah. I just want to make one very short point. I saw in Rabbi Yudin's Sefer, Rabbi Benjamin Yudin, he speaks on the radio every morning, so he just says a very simple vart. I think it was a very profound vart. Is that unfortunately today we live in a world where unfortunately many of even our own Acheinu Bnei Yisrael who are not yet fully observant, they question. They're the ones who are asking this question. Okay, so unfortunately the one that's asking the question is Pasuk of the Goyim. Rashi says, Mishum Koyach Masav Higiliyamo Shem Yomru Umo So'olam. If the Umoy Sa'olam will ask this question, listen at him. Unfortunately, the ones who's asking this question, Bizman Hazeh, is not the Umoy Sa'olam. We're asking the question. All of them, I mean, unfortunately, a large percentage of Klal Yisrael are not yet Shomrei Torah Mitzvos. And they feel guilty. How can we take away the land of the Palestinians? It's their land. We have to be good to them. So the answer is, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has told you, it's my world. I created the world, I gave the land to who they want, and I will take away the land from them at the time that I want and give it to my people. So Rabbi Yudin says, that's one of the reasons why it's called Sefer HaYoshar. Because in Tanakh, Chumash Bereish is called Sefer HaYoshar. And Yoshar refers to the beginning. That the Iker of the Yoshar is the Yashrus. What's the Yashrus? So similarly, it's Avraham, Yitzhak, and Yaakov. But on a very simple level, the very beginning of the Torah, this very first Rashi, the whole history of the creation of the world is, Law says Lohem Nachlas Koyim, this is Yashrus. Don't make a mistake and corrupt, taint your mind, your thought process, and think that taking away the land, it's not the right thing to do. Yosher, you have to be fair. You have to be fair, you have to let the Palestinians live in the land. They've been living here for the last 100 years. So let them continue living in the land. What? How many years? I don't know the history. Wherever they're living there. People, this is what people are saying. It's not Yosher. It's not glatt. It's not fair. What is Yosher? It's not fair. Who told you how to define the word fair? Define for me the word fair. You can say a svara like this, a svara like this. There's no such thing as Yosher. The translation of fairness, the translation of the definition of the rules of ethics are defined by the Torah. Torah defines Yosher. What is right, what is fair, what is ethical. And the beginning of Chumash Bereishis is, Lo seis lohem nachlas goyim. You have emunah. This is Yosher. It's Hashem's world. Hashem decided that Klal Yisrael they possess Eretz Yisrael. It's their land. Don't make any mistake and think otherwise. Don't have any guilt. Don't think for one moment you're doing the wrong thing or not 100% ethical and right to go and possess Eretz Yisrael. Don't have a teeny havamina that you're doing something wrong. This is the ultimate yashrus that you should have Eretz Yisrael. This is Sefer Bereishis, Sefer Hayosha, and Sefer Bereishis opens up with Lo Seis Lahem Nachalaska. This is his thought, his opening thought of Chumash Bereishis. It's a very, very profound thought, I believe. Okay, let's go to another quick idea. This is an idea I saw in Rabbi Noach Shein Sefer. Birchas Ish. Rabbi Noach Shein is a Rosh Shiva in Yeshiva of Staten Island. Rabbi Moshe's Yeshiva. He has a two-volume Sefer called Birchas Ish, and he says something. Rabbi Noach Shein. Where are you going? Here, come sit over here. Okay, come over here. Just sit over here. Come sit over here. Rabbi Noach Shein. Rabbi Noach Shein has a sefer called Birchas Ish. Rabbi Noach Shein is a Rosh HaYeshiva in Yeshiva Staten Island. And he says it's a very simple idea, but I mean, we say this in davening every single day. Aleinu l'shabech l'adoin ha'kol l'seis gidula l'yotzer bereshis. So we ask the question, why three times a day when we recite Aleinu, do we refer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu with this unique, this very rare description of the yotzer bereshis? We should say, l'seis gidula l'Hashem Elokeinu. There's no shortage of descriptions, titles that we give to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which are much more popular and much more common than this description of Liyotzer Bereishis. This is an extremely rare way to describe HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Why was this Aleinu? We have a tradition that it was composed by Yoshua. Why did Yoshua, when he composed this Nusach, choose to describe HaKadosh Baruch Hu as Liyotzer Bereishis? So he says something very simple. He says it's the first Rashi in Chumash. The first Rashi in Chumash, whenever you describe Klal Yisrael relative to the Umos HaOlam, then the term you use to describe is the Yotzer Bereishis. When you describe our relationship to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the, just in general and independent relationship, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad, Ribbono Shel Olam, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But when you're focusing on the difference between us and the Umos HaOlam, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has selected us and has rejected the Umos HaOlam, especially in reference to Eretz Yisrael, especially in reference to Yeshua, who Yeshua conquered Eretz Yisrael. He was the one that put into practice what it says in the first Rashi, Lo Seis Lahem Nachalas Goyim. Then the appropriate term is the Yotzer. We go back to Chumash Bereishis. Why did the term begin with Bereishis instead of HaKadosh Zeh Lahem? The answer is Lo Seis Lahem Nachalas Goyim. Hashem has rejected the Umos HaOlam, has chosen Klal Yisrael, has commanded us to remove the Canaanim from Eretz Yisrael, so that we can possess Eretz Yisrael. It's the beginning of the Torah. It's the Bereishis, Liyotze Bereishis, and that's why we refer to him. And that's exactly what the theme of Aleinu is. If we continue the words of Aleinu, Shaloi Sam Chelkeinu Kohem, Shaloi Asanu Ki Goyei Haratzos, Shaloi Samanu Ki Mishpachos Wadama, Shaloi Sam Chelkeinu Kohem. It's all about the rejection of the Umos Olam, the Golin Cholam Anam. And then we go on, he explains further, that is why when we can come to the end of this first section, MS Malkeinu, FS Zuloso, and we want to refer to a pasuk. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is emes. V'yodata hayom hashavos el levech Hashem ulokim hashmayim imel l'eretz mitach hasim. Why do we select this pasuk? Why do we say HaKadosh Baruch Hu Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad? Why do we specifically focus on the pasuk V'yodata hayom hashavos el levech? The answer is, where does this pasuk come from? It comes from Bo'eschanan in Perek Dalet, pasuk Lamed Tes. This pasuk, this is why it's so important to know Tanakh Baal Peh, because whenever you have in the Nusach HaTfilah an expression or a pasuk, it's just the tip of the iceberg. The expression is trying to force you to focus on the big picture, the context of where this pasuk or expression was taken from. This pasuk V'yadata hayom comes after pasuk lamed zayin lamed ches. What does it say in lamed zayin lamed ches? The sachas ki ohav es avoy secha. Hashem love your forefathers. Vayivchar bezaroi acharav and have selected his descendants. Vayotziyacha befonah b'choy chagol mitzrayim. Hashem took out of Mitzrayim lehoirish to inherit, lahirish to drive out, goyim gidolim v'atzumim mimecha mipanecha lahaviacha loses lachas artzam nachla kayoim hazeh, to give you Eretz Yisrael, to drive them out, loses lohem nachlas v'yodata hayoim v'hashiv ozeh lemech ki Hashem olukim hashmayim v'mel rosh midachas heinot. So this pasuk was never meant to be put into Aleinu independently. This pasuk is meant to bring up in your mind the big picture. Remember, this pasuk lamed zayin, and there's a pasuk lamed ches, which describes in great detail that HaKadosh Baruch Hu chose the Avos, Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, and promised them Eretz Yisrael, and told their descendants to drive out the Canaan, so that you can possess it, and you shall live. And that's exactly what it says in the first Rashi in Chumash, in the beginning of the Torah, the Yotzer Bereishis, where it says, it all flows in the same idea from the first Rashi. Nachla is Yerushalayim. Lo says lam nachalaskoyim. Nachla, according to the Gemara, refers to Yerushalayim. Nachla is more specifically
together with the Nachla.
Yeah.
Is superior.
So where is the Chachma?
No, from this morning.
Yeah, I know. So, where is the chachma in this pasuk? Toiva chachma in nachala.
The chachma, the nachala, right? Which is Eretz Yisrael. That is the greatest advantage.
Okay. Very good. Okay, sounds good. Okay, let's just go to another one. Very short, quick idea. I saw this in Rabbi Shur's Sefer. Halekach v'halivov. Everyone knows that the Torah begins with the letter Beis and ends with the letter Lamed. And there's so much commentary. Beis and Lamed, backwards is Lev. Okay, the heart is what counts. But he has another short little remez, which... Rav Avram Shur. And he says that what's the middle letter of the Torah, according at least to Chazal, the Vav, the Gochain. Al Gochain Chatelech. So the beginning of the Torah is the letter Beis. The middle, Kol Holech Al Gochon. The beginning of the Torah is the letter Beis. The middle of the Torah is the letter Vav. The end of the Torah is the letter Lamed. Bull. Beis Vav Lamed. What does bull stand for? Bull. Bull means what?
Post.
Okay. But bull in is Rashi Tevos Beficha Uvilvavicha Laasoisai. Beficha Uvilvavicha Laasoisai. Don't make, when you come and approach, we're starting now a new machzor in the Torah. Don't make a mistake and think that this is just something that sits on the shelf. It's theoretical. It's intellectually stimulating, but it's not very practical in this day and age, 2015, coming soon to 2016, the generation of Trump and Obama. It's not something very practical for us. Chas v'shalom. The Torah begins with the base. The middle letter is a vav. The end is a lamed. It's beficha uvilvavcha la'asoisai. Okay, let's go to another idea. Okay, I'm going to jump around. End of the parasha. I want to jump around to end of the parasha. The end of the parasha, we focus on the life of man. The life of man, it says in the pasuk, is 120 years. Well, let's take really a step back. Let's not really read the parasha on the pasuk. Let me read the words of the pasuk. Hashem saw that man is not following the pasuk gimel. Okay, Vayomer Hashem lo yadon ruchi v'adam le'olam b'shagam. I thought it was b'shagam. Two patachs.
Shagam.
Second one is a komatz.
Yes.
Shagam. B'shagam hu vasar. Man is nothing more than basar. V'hoyu yamav me'ah v'yesrim shana. The average person translates these words to mean that man was meant to live 120 years. We all hear people wishing their friends, you should live Me'av Yashrim. Who lives 120? And why only 120? Aaron HaKohen lived to 123. The whole Chumash, the whole parsha, we have people living here over here to almost 1,000 years old. Everyone lived 187, 147, 180. What's this thing, 100? Moshe Rabbeinu got lucky, hit the jackpot. 120 years. But what is this 120? So first of all, you should know that's not the pshat in the pasuk. Rashi and the Targum both say that this thing that we always say Me'av Yashrim, it's not what it says. It means Hashem says I have seen by Hiki Hichel Adam Loroiv Al Pnei Adama Uvenos Yudu Avayuah Elkinu. Hashem sees that man is not behaving the way he should. So Hashem says, you know what? I'm going to destroy the world. But you know what? I'm going to give them an opportunity to do tshuva for 120 years. Let Noach begin building a teva. People will ask him questions, and maybe in the next 120 years, people will come to their senses. They will do tshuva. If you read the words of Rashi, I'll read the words of Rashi very quickly. Pasuk says, "D'chayu yamav ad kuf chof shan until 120 years, arich lohem api. I will have patience. The im lo yeshuvu, if they do not do tshuva, then avi alehem abu." Avim Toimar Mishnolad Yefes Ad Hamabul Choira Yefes was born first. After this pasuk was recited in the beginning and later in the end of the parsha, it says that Yefes was born, and Yefes was only 100 years old when the Mabul happened, so we were 20 years short. So Rashi goes on to say, Ein Muktam Umu'ucha Batara, when Hashem said this thought, Yefes was already born 20 years before, so it was exactly 120 years. Hashem says, I'm going to give them patience for 120 years. That is what Rashi says, Pashut on the Pasuk, and that's exactly what the Targum says. Targum says exactly the same thing. Hashem is going to have patience. For some reason, it's probably one of the other Rishonim, they say the other Mahalach of the Pasuk means that it was meant to be man shall live exactly 120 years. Hashem originally planned a man shall live forever. Adam Rishon then was given the chance to live after the Chait Eitz Hadas was meant to live for 1,000 years. He only made it to 930. And other people, they didn't reach it to 1,000. They reached all different numbers that we find in the Pesukim. And then Hashem says, you know what, even that's too much. I'm going to reduce it simply to a max of 120. Problem is, it's not really a maximum because we find many people who live more than 120. Okay, fine. This is Pasha and the Pasuk. Okay, two things. First of all, just very quickly, I probably saw this in the Alehi Goyon by Rabbi Klein. I don't remember his first name. Rabbi Klein is Sev Alehi Goyon, I believe he says. We mentioned this once before. We learned Parshas Nitzavim. Nitzavim has, or Parshas Hazinu and Zayis Habrocha have 122 psukim. But how many days are there from Elul until Zos Chanukah? 122. So it depends. 122 depends on if both months are Mole. Both months have to be Mole. But if both months, there are two possible months which are Choser. So I think most of the time it really does work out exactly 120. You can work out between 120 and 122 days. Between Aleph Elul, theoretically. Theoretically, if the months are Moli and Choser, theoretically they can be between 120 and 122 days from Rosh Chodesh Elul until Zos Chanukah, the last day of Chanukah. You're passing Tishrei, Cheshvan, Kislev. Right, so you're passing through 3 months. So there are two months theoretically. We don't, the calendar is fixed, but theoretically there can be between 120 and 122 days. A few weeks ago, when we learned Parshas Hazinu, so we mentioned that in Tzav Vayelech and Hazinu 30, 40, 122. But and we focused on the number 122. But the number 120 is also a true number because it can happen that there are 120 days. So he says we know that we have a tradition that the Chasima of the Yemei Hadin is not over until Chanukah. And that's exactly what the Pasuk over here says with Rashi. Rashi says that Hashem says, I will have patience. The Yimei HaDin really begin Rosh Chodesh Elul. As the year winds down, and we come to the Yomim Laram, Shloshim Yomim before the Chag, 30 days before the radiance of the Yom Tov already is there, the Yimei HaDin is upon us. Hashem says, when Din comes upon a person, I have patience for 120 years. But the number 120 is significant. When we we shortened 120 from years to days. Hashem shows what?
Shana.
V'hayu yamav of his days. Meya the esrim shorachem. But the idea is like Kadosh Baruch Hu. The theme of Rashi is Hashem has patience for the number 120. In the generation of Dor HaMabul, Hashem showed patience for 120 years. But on a microcosm, in a person's life, every single year when you come to the Yimei Hadin, Hashem has patience. The tshuva time begins Rosh Chodesh Elul. The Chasima, according to tradition, is not complete until the end of Chanukah. So there's still hope.
See, and Nesrik Soicha doesn't have mnemonis until Chanukah.
Until Chanukah, because he can still do tshuva. Until he spends all the money. So it's an interesting idea. There are 120 days from Elul to Chanukah. Why? What's the? Is it a coincidence? It's not a coincidence. There's a source. The source comes from the Dor HaMabul, from Chumash Bereishis. Hashem shows patience for 120 days in a person's life at that time of the year. Okay. Now another idea. I went this week to a yard site. We call it Yom HaZikaron or Nasifa, a commemoration of a young man, a person who died in his early 30s. And the brother of the Nifter spoke, and he said something that it shook me up. I thought it was a very, very, very deep idea. I don't think he realized what he was saying. He said something that again, I feel is a very deep idea. And he says, it says in the pasuk, I'm elaborating upon what he said. He says in this pasuk, "V'hayu yamav meya v'esrim shana," which we simply translate to mean, on a very simple level, that man is meant to live 120 years. And the question is obvious: man does not live for 120. The average man does not live 120 years. He lives less. He lives more. How many people do we know hit the nail on the head? So he said as follows. If the Torah says that a person lives 120 years, it's true. This is the ultimate shirish of emes. There's nothing to talk about. Every person that comes into this world lives 120 years. However, time, the speed, how time passes differs from person to person. If a person lives 90 years, all that means is he lived 120 years, but his years were accelerated. A person lives 150 years, his days were he lived a life in slow motion. We all know today with technology, you take a video, you watch a video, a YouTube video, and you can, I don't know, you probably can change the settings where you can watch it a little bit faster, double the speed, 4 times the speed, 8 times the speed, 16 times the speed, or you can slow it down, you can go in slow motion. You can view things in life at different speeds. The Torah says a person lives 120 years, you live 120 years. If you abuse your time, we don't know how to abuse because they're tzaddik and they live very short lives. But time is something which is very delicate. For example, we all know that on other planets, if you go to the moon and you go to Pluto, you go to Mars, time is different. Time, there's something called string theory. The further we distance ourselves from the Earth, the magnetic pull of the Earth, and I don't know, I'm not familiar with all the science, time is something very delicate. It's not the same time on Earth, it's time on another planet. What?
Time
is very ha chodesh, and we, and if you forget about, and besides focusing on in reality, in Metzias, that the fact that time is different. Look at Halacha. HaChodesh HaZeh Lechem Rosh Chodashim. The Torah should have begun with, what does Rashi really mean? HaChodesh Lechem Rosh Chodashim. You want to talk about creation? You want to talk about the creation of the physical world? There is nothing more gashmi in this world, we always discuss this idea, than time. Time is something which is kula gashmi. By HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the spiritual world, Hoya Hoyveh V'yiyah. The Hashem Yudke Vovke, Hashem's name, Yudke Vovke, is a combination of Hoya, Hoyve Viya. Hashem sees, knows the past, Hashem is in the present, Hashem is in the future, and it's all merged, it's all morphed into one thing. In the spiritual world, there's no difference between past, present, and future. It's only in this world there is a creation called time. You want to talk about creation? Bereshis Bara Elohim, Es Hashamayim the Es Aretz. You want to talk about the physical creation of the world? The most physical thing in this world, Lo Hayat Tzarich LaHaschil Ella BeHachodesh Hazel Lochem. The Torah really should begin with the concept of time. HaChodesh Lochem is time. And what is it about time? Hashem says time, it's not fixed. Time is under your control. HaChodesh Lochem, Bezdin was given the power to decide if the month should be 30 days, the month should be 29 days. That's a very deep concept. There are many examples that if Chazal changed their mind, the world goes backwards. If it was meant to be 30 days, and Chazal, the sun, it's going to be 20 days, all of a sudden, people, they become younger. The sun stands. Time is in man's control. It is a physical, just like you can take clay, you can take earth, and you can fashion earth into a utensil, you can take time and you can shape it. You can slow it down and you can speed it up.
Isn't the word Bereshis?
Yeah.
The beginning of time?
Yeah. According to Rashi's interpretation, in the beginning of.
In the beginning.
The clock started then? Okay, it's time, it's a concept of time. Therefore, what he said was, a person, he was basically saying about his brother, he lived only for about 30-something years. But it doesn't mean that he didn't live 120 years. He accomplished so much. This individual accomplished so much in these 30-something years, it was equivalent to what the person would accomplish in 120 years. And that's true for every single person. But it's a very dangerous concept, because if you could take, what I'm saying is not true, but the idea, I want to bring out an idea.
By every person.
But the idea is, if a person values his time, you live your day, every moment counts. This, when I have an opportunity to make a bracha, I take advantage. In the afternoon has meaning. This time of the day has meaning. The evening has meaning. When every moment has meaning, what are you really doing? You're taking your life and you're living it in slow motion. And that means you'll live 150 years. What do you mean living 150 years? You're only living 120 years. But you can take those 120 years and you can stretch it. A person wastes time. This day doesn't mean anything. I'll take vacation. I'll go to sleep every day for 5 hours in the afternoon. I'll do this, I'll do that. Time doesn't mean anything to you. When you sleep for 2 hours, you really slept away 10 hours of your life. You press the fast forward button. You put it on X16. You're playing your life in high motion. You're living 120 years. No one's denying you 100. The Torah says. The Torah is Emes Lamito. V'hoyu yomov ne'ya v'esrim shana. How do you live your life? Look, we all listen to two different people. Some people, they can cap something very quickly, and the other person, in order for him to understand, to comprehend the same idea, it takes him a week. There are people who can speed read. They can read a whole book in 10 minutes, and they can really understand it. They have a brilliant photographic memory. They look at the page, they see all the words, they comprehend it, and there are people like me, they got to go line by line, word by word. It takes a very long time. So we see that your mind, the way you live, time is different. Two people sitting next to each other, they're taking in time differently. V'hayu yomav ne'ya v'esrim shana. Do you want to live your life high speed, or do you want to live your life in slow motion? Aaron, he beat the clock. Aaron lived 123 years. He slowed down the clock. He lived 120 years. Moshe Rabbeinu lived the perfect balanced life. He lived exactly 120 years. Okay, so this is an idea. Okay, let's go to another idea. Okay, I want to share with you an idea. Okay, let's two part. We learn about the creation of man. Adam, who is the one who named, who gave a human being the name Adam? Simply, the Mepharshim say Adam himself. Adam himself, he chose, Hashem said, according to the Medrash, Hashem said to man, select a name for the fish, for the animals, for the you select names, and what do you want to call yourself? After Adam, he selected names for every one of the creatures. Hashem then said, so what do you want to call yourself? Adam said, look, I came from the earth, so I'll call myself after the earth. Adam miloshoin Adama. Afar min ho Adama. I'll call myself the earth. It's a good name for me. Question is, that's the best you can do. Right? If I would ask every single person in this room to select a name for a human being and to be creative and give you an assignment, you go away for a couple of weeks, you go into his spiritus and come up with something creative to call yourself, it's very unlikely anyone would come back and say, I want to call myself Adam Miloshain Adama because I come from the earth. That's not something that you want to focus on, that you come from the earth. Afar minho Adama, your humble beginnings. So what's Pshat? What's Pshat? Why did he call himself Adam? So I saw a beautiful idea. I saw this idea in the Sefer called Nachalas Pinchas. I don't know who the Mechaber is. Nachalas Pinchas. It's a new Sefer. And he says there... I do not remember the name of the Mechaber. The name of the Sefer is Nachalas Pinchas. Pinchas something. Nachalas. I'm getting better. At least I'm telling you the name of the Sefer. I usually don't tell you the name of the Sefer. I'm working on it. Okay, I'm working on this. Nachalas Pinchas. He says as follows. He says all of the forms of creation, all of the different elements of creation, there was really only one element in creation that sinned, or I shouldn't say sin. We'll discuss this in a few moments. That was not accurate in its role, and that is the earth. The earth was told. Hashem said, I want you, the earth, to produce eitz peri. Produce trees, and the bark, or the exterior, should have the same flavor, the same taste as the fruit. Just as a person can take an apple and bite into an apple, a person should be able to bite into the tree. Eitz peri. The tree said, "Sorry, Rabbeinu Shalom, I respectfully disagree. You'll tell me what you want me to do. I'll do what I want to do. I will produce eight oise peris." And was this a chait? Not necessarily. I'll show you. It wasn't punished immediately. The tree was only punished at a later point in time after Adam sinned. Then the tree was sinned. But originally, it doesn't say anywhere in Rashi and Chazal that the tree committed an avera by not fulfilling the will of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's almost as if to say that the tree was machmir. Maybe the tree. What do you mean the tree was machmir? So he says something. I think this is a medrash. If I'm not mistaken, it's really a medrash. The tree made a very simple calculation. It's a very simple idea. What's going to happen in the winter? You have a tree, beautiful tree, apple tree. The apple tree only produces apples once a year in the spring. Everyone comes, collects the apples, chalamoid, you go apple picking, no more apples left. It's now the cold, bitter winter. People are at home, they're hungry. I'm hungry, I want an apple. So you know what you do? You go out into the field, and you cut down the tree. And you bring home the tree, and you eat the tree. If the tree would have fulfilled the Kadosh Baruch Hu's directive, eitz peri, tam eitz ketam pri. So in the middle, when the tree produces fruit, you eat the fruit. And when the tree doesn't produce fruit, you eat the tree. What's the problem if you eat the tree in the winter?
Nothing.
Next Chol HaMoed, we're not going apple picking. There is no tree. So what do you have? You have to have faith that a human being will have enough seichel, not to cut down and not to eat the tree, even though the tree tastes delicious. You have to realize if you can eat the tree, they're not going to be pears. You have to have faith in man. The tree said, you know,
I don't trust man.
You have to have safeguards. There has to be built into creation. Came to the conclusion that you have to have safeguards. You can't just Gedarim, you have to have a filter.
He knows better than the relationship.
Not that he knows better. We don't find that the tree was punished immediately. We don't find that the tree was punished immediately. The tree made a cheshbon and says it must be the Ratzon of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is that I'm going to sacrifice. It's very noble what the tree did. The tree says, you know what? I'm going to sacrifice myself. I'm not going to provide any flavor. A tree doesn't, it's not very pleasant. To eat a tree. No one's going to eat a tree. So that my peros will be preserved. What the tree did was noble. It erected a safeguard to preserve, to guarantee there will always be peros. The next year there will be peros at its own expense. There's no taste. Why would someone come in the middle of the winter and eat me? Well, why would they eat me? They're going to be out of their mind to eat me. This self-sacrifice was all done for the advantage of the peros. Adam HaRishon was given the task, give yourself a name. A name is an identity. It's not just a title. A name captures your essence. Adam was searching. There could have been a billion things Adam could have selected from to be a source to define his identity. He chose the Adama because he was fascinated with the Musar Haskel of the Adama. The Musar Haskel of the Adama, and this is normal. Again, we're going to discuss the punishment in a few moments. It was normal that the earth said, I'm going to produce. What is a human being? Ki ha Adam eitz hasade. What is a human being? A human being, the Pasuk says, which Parsha? Kiseitze, Kisavo? Kiseitze, what is it? Kiseitze, Kisavo? Shoftim, and the Shoftim? And the Shoftim? Ki ha'adam eitz ha'sodeh. A person has to follow in the way of a tree and has to realize it's not all about you. It's about someone else. It's about producing peros.
Didn't that because your book, he called him that?
What? The Medrash Kei Enoch Hanami, the Medrash from the Pasuk from Enoch, I quoted the Medrash, I think I'm called some Medrash, right? If I'm not mistaken, the Medrash elaborates upon the Pasuk. The Pasuk seems to say that Hashem called him Adam. Hashem called him Adam, but Hashem just confirmed, according to the Medrash, I know it's not Pashup Shat.
It's way before he was born.
There are multiple, the creation is repeated multiple times, I think three times we talk about creation in the Torah. Okay? That's a lot of discussion, but basically, I think the Medrash elaborates that part of the process of calling names, HaKadosh Baruch Hu asked, what would you want to call yourself? And HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, confirmed. When it says in the Pasuk that HaKadosh Baruch Hu called man Adam, it was a confirmation of this is what man selected for himself, and Hashem said, excellent choice. And what's the reason why? Because there's an incredible Musar Haskel in the earth. It was an element of creation that recognized it's not all about you. It's about someone else. It's about, and it's, when it comes to someone else, most, it doesn't mean you have to self-sacrifice, but the earth went to the extreme. It gave up of itself. There was a significant degree of self-sacrifice. It itself is unflavorable. It's unpleasant. So that there should be a guarantee for the future. Continuity. Continuity. It's an incredible Musar Haskel. This is the essence, the identity of man. You have to sacrifice so there shall be continuity. It's a good appeal for a yeshiva. You have to sacrifice from your wallet so there shall be Jewish continuity. There shall be a future for Klal Yisrael. This is the essence, the definition of Adam.
But it's the tree that sacrificed, not the earth.
The earth is what produced the tree. But Hashem said to the earth, Totse Haaretz Eitz Ose Peri. Look in the Pasuk. The earth was given the instruction to produce Eitz Peri. Earth, bring forth an Eitz Peri. Bring forth a tree and a fruit, and both should be equal. The earth said, no. I'm going to produce an Eitz Ose Peri. There has to be sacrifice. Adam took the cue from the earth and followed in that same way. When I grow up to be a man, when I grow up to be a big tree, to be an eitz, I'm going to be an eitz osepuri. I'm not going to be an eitz puri. It's not going to be about me. I'm going to sacrifice myself for my children, for the next generation. This is the essence, the identity of man. Okay, now that's one idea.
Totsei
haaretz, the earth. The same exact thing. The Aretz and the Adam is the same idea. Okay, I'm being a little bit imprecise, but it's really the same thing. It says the word Aretz instead of the word Adama, but it's really the same idea. Aretz and Adama are synonyms for the same thing. Okay, now let's go to another. Now here's another idea. Now I'm telling you now, I want to warn you, is It's pure drush. Doesn't say this. It doesn't say this in Chazal. It's just an idea. It is something to think about. It is an incomplete idea. But I just want to present you some information. We know now that the earth was constructed to produce an eight spirit. The earth was in violation. And we don't find at the time that the earth was punished at that moment in time. One of the things that Hashem created was the Eitz Hadas, Tov V'Ra. Now the question is, if the earth was in violation of not producing Eitz Pri, but Eitz Osa Pri, that also has to mean, again, I'm making suggestions, that the Eitz Hadas, the result of the Eitz Hadas in the Gan, was not the way it was meant to be. It was meant to be that Totzei Haaretz Eitz was meant to be to produce an Eitz Peri, but it was only Eitz Osa Peri. So that means in Gan Eden, there were trees, and the trees were not edible. And the fruit of the Eitz Hadas was edible. Is that a fair, I think that's a fair assumption to make. The original plan in creation was that all trees shall be Eitz Peri. The earth violated HaKadosh Baruch Hu's command and only produced Eitz Osa Peri. And being that the Eitz Hadas, the Eitz HaChayim, and the Eitz Hadas, the two different trees that were in the Gan, the Eitz HaChayim and the Eitz Hadas, are described as trees, and they were also subject to creation, so they also were formed in the same manner as the rest of creation, where their bark, where the tree itself was unedible, but the fruit was edible. Okay? Now, let's read the Pesukim. Hashem says to Adam HaRishayim, Hashem says to him, he puts him in the Gan Eden, La'avdu u'lashamra, and when Hashem gives him instructions and says to him, give me one moment, Vayikach, Hashem lukim es Adam, vayanichil v'gan Eden la'avdu u'lashamra, vayitzav Hashem lukim al Adam le'mar, mikol eitz Hagon Ochol Tochel. Hashem does not make any mention of the fruit. Hashem tells them, you can eat the eitz. Umei eitz hadas toy voro loy soichal menu. There's no mention of fruit. Don't eat the eitz. Don't eat the eitz hadas. You can eat from the kol eitz hagon, but don't eat from the eitz. Now, what do you mean? You can't eat eitz. So you have no choice but to say, okay, I'm just throwing out ideas. You go over the psukim later on, you can probably play with this and have a different interpretation of what this means. But if we assume that an eitz is a tree like any other tree, so when Hashem said an eitz, obviously it means the fruit of the tree. When we talk about a tree today, I want to eat from the tree. It's self-assumed, it's self-understood that you can eat from the fruit. All right, fine. Ki biyoyim achol chol mimenu mos tomos. Fine, okay. Now let's jump ahead. We come to the Nachash. The Nachash, Hayo aru mikol chayas hasadeh asher osu Hashem elokim. Vayomer elu isha. Af. Now af can mean many things. Ki omar elokim, certainly Hashem said, lo yisaychlu mikol eitz hagon. The Ribbono shel Olam said, it's certain, do not eat from the eitz. Does not make mention of the fruits. Hashem said, do not eat from the eitz. V'atoymer ha'isha, what does the isha say to the nachash? Or nachash? Mipri eitz hagon noichal. No. Hashem said, you're right, and I'm translating these words, going to tell everything is a half-baked word here. You're right. I'm not coming to disagree. You're right. Hashem said, don't eat from the eitz. But fruit we can eat from. In other words, we know from creation there's a difference between the eitz and the pri. The proof is the eitz was supposed to produce pri, eitz pri, and it failed, and it produced eitz osa pri. Vayomer hanochash elo isha loy mois temusun kein, he goes on to say, next pasuk, vatera ho isha ki toiv ho eitz lamachal, she saw that the eitz was delicious. V'chisavohu loinayim, it's desirable to the eyes. V'nechmod ho eitz lehaskil, again, we only mention the eitz. Vatikach mi piryo, she took from its fruits. Vatoichal. Vatiten gam le isha ima vayoichal. Now, here's the question. The question really is, what was she thinking? Again, we're dealing here with the Yetzir Kapov of the Ribbono Shel Olam.
She's dealing with
She was afraid he's
going to
get married again.
Okay, that's a lot of this. But this is a question which all the commentators ask. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu told you not to do it, and we're not dealing with people of this generation, we're dealing with the Yetzir Kapov of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Hashem says, don't do it. What was that? There must have been some thought process. There must have been some reason, room for error. And the answer is very simple. You read the Pesukim very simple as HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the room for error is HaKadosh Baruch Hu only said, don't eat from the eats. But you can eat, that leaves room, but you can't eat from the fruit. And let's make believe, I'm just playing around, let's assume that the tree would have produced, would have the earth would have followed Hashem's command. Literally, Hashem said to the earth, I want you to produce eights peri. You're worried about self-preservation? That's not your problem. If people will come out in the wintertime and eat up the trees, that's their problem. That's none of your business. Let's say then the tree would have indeed produced, the eights hadas would have been edible, the eights would have been edible, and the fruit would have been edible. Then the whole discussion between, and Hashem says, do not eat from the eights hadas. Okay, I'm not really clear, I'm just trying to throw out some ideas. Do not eat from the eights hadas. So then the command of don't eat from the eights hadas would have been something entirely different. Hashem says, don't eat from the eights hadas, don't eat from the eights. Now what about the fruits? So you can argue if you can't eat from the eights, which has, so maybe the food's the same, because eights is equal, according to Rashi, the fruit and the tree are 100% equal. Eights peri, eights, they're exactly the same. Then there would not have been any room for the Nachash to play games. Hashem said, don't eat from the tree. But the fruit is different than the tree. You yourself admit it. I introduce, Hashem said, Af mikol eitz agan lo yisrech. And you come along and tell me, but from the fruits we can eat. Because the earth violated Hashem's command and made a difference between the eitz and the prey. There's a difference between the two. Once there's a difference between the two, there's already confusion. When Hashem said, don't do this, because this has a different character. But the fruit is different. Maybe when Hashem says, don't eat, don't take the bark, don't grind it up, and create a potion, and drink the potion. But the fruit is not the ikar. Maybe that is permissible. So, it was a very good idea, what the earth did, differentiating between the eights. But because of this deviation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's directive, this is what gave Pesach. And you're not being clear, you have to go with the Pesukim, you really would see the change of expressions in the Pesukim, the pre and the eights. It is what gave the Nochash a Pesach to make trouble. I was able to confuse Chava. That's right, don't take the bark, grind it up, and create a potion and drink it. But how bad could it be to eat the fruit? And you can only imagine, if the eight sadas will open up your eyes to have knowledge, and that's awesome, but the fruit is mutter, so you'll at least have some knowledge, a permissible form of knowledge which comes from the fruit. This is what created confusion, because the earth deviated. Therefore, now that it turned out, even though it's true that it might have been a very good idea, but since this is what led to the chait of the Eitz Hadas, that is why when Adam was cursed, Hashem now went back and cursed the earth. Koitz v'dadar tatzmiach loch. The curse came at a later point in time. Originally, it was a very good calculation. It was a very good idea. Self-preservation. But because you still did deviate from HaKadosh Baruch Hu's command, and this deviation is now, which obviously, again, I don't have the exact words, I tried very hard to figure out the exact points, but obviously, this deviation, that there's a difference between eights and fruit, they're not exactly the same. The original tzivui was, they should be exactly the same. If they were exactly the same, there's no room for the Nochash to start playing games. Don't eat from the eights, but from the food you can eat. They're exactly the one and the same. The earth said they're not the same. There's something called an eights. There's something called a pre. Why? Self-preservation. That change, the difference between the Eitz and the Pri trickle down even into the Eitz Hadas. Now, that difference is what created confusion. Adam, Chava, and the Nachash, they keep on playing around. Hashem only said don't eat from the Eitz. But the fruit, you can eat. So indeed, she did eat from the fruit. She took from the fruit of the Eitz Hadas, not from the tree, because she was so intrigued by the koyach of the tree. It turns out now that when you deviate from a Kodesh Baruch Hu's tzivui, even though you have the best reasons in the world why you should make that deviation, it opens up a crack. It opens up room for doubt and can lead to the churban of the world. Now, when I curse Adam, I'm going to come back and have to curse you as well. B'koyitz v'dadar tatzmiach lach.
She herself was born after.
Well, she was told, the Mefarshim discussed that she, whatever was told to Adam applied to her. She was tofel to Adam. She was part of Adam. Whatever was told, she had a Messiah from Adam, from her husband. Hashem said, Adam, don't eat from the Eitz Hadas.
She was punished because she gave him.
What?
Maybe she was punished because she gave him, not because she ate.
Well, it's all part of the same thing. She gave him from the fruit. She gave from the fruit. Okay, let's go to another quick idea. Okay, we're running out of time. Let's go to another quick idea.
Exactly.
He says, look, if you have an opinion, they were both to the same side. He just separated her out. And you say she would have heard the command.
Whatever it is, you tell her anyway.
Okay, let's go to another idea.
Just before you go, it says that, you should talk too much. She had the Sira not to eat, but she said that the when the Nocha she asked her, she said, Lo Siga.
Don't touch. She added. Koha Moisif Korea.
So that's why she thought.
Okay, let's go to another quick idea. So what is this pasuk doing here? Zeh Sefer told us Adam. So I think I saw in Rav the Shemin HaTayv, Rabbi Bernard Weinberger, the young Israel of Williamsburg. He says, beautiful word, it's really based upon a Ramban. The similar understanding is Zeh Sefer told us Adam is going on the next parak. Zeh Sefer told us Adam is the beginning of Perik Hay, which describes the Shalshelas Hadoras, the history of mankind, all the people, Shais, Enosh, Canaan, and so on and so forth. It's simply, it's a Hagdama, it's a new Perik. Well, it's a new Parsha, it's a Parsha Stuma, it's a new Haschala. Zeh Sefer Toloi Sod. In fact, it's Parsha Stuma, it really indicates that it's a new beginning for what comes ahead. However, the Ramban seems to say, you have to look at the exact words of the Ramban, that Zeh Sefer Toloi Sod is not a new beginning. It's really a summary of everything that has come thus far. What does that mean? A summary of what has come thus far. Until the beginning of Pasuk Hey, there's basically nothing but one failure after another. Adam is born. He's created. What does he do? He sins. Okay, terrible tragedy. Hashem tries to rectify the problem. He dresses him, and he gives him a new mission. Adam has two children, Cain and Hevel. Murder, first homicide. Cain kills Hevel. Okay, another mistake. Then later.
The first mistake.
It's better be good. Okay, then what happens? Cain. Then the psukim here mentioned that Talmud Adam, and these two, you read the Rashi's. Cain was killed. His grandson Lemech accidentally killed his grandfather. Lemech, according to Chazal, was blind, and he was accompanied by his father, I think, by Kutuvul Kayin, and Kutuvul Kayin says, shoot, and they thought it was a chaya, a wild animal, but the truth is it was his grandfather, it was Kayin, and Lemech shot an arrow, and he killed his grandfather. When he heard the screams of his grandfather, his last dying cries, he was so distraught, he started to clap his hands in frustration. And who did he clap his hands on in frustration? His son, Tuvul Kayin. His son. So he killed in one shot his grandfather and his son, Tuvul Kayin. Okay, another disaster. So Kayin, another tragedy. And then the pasuk goes on to say, Adam was left without any children. Adam had Cain and Hevel. Hevel was murdered. Cain now was killed. So Adam starts again. Vayeda Adam od es ishto, vatele ben vatikor eshmo sheis. He has another child, a replacement. Kishosli Hashem has set for me Elokim zera acher tachas hevel ki harago kain. And then it goes on. Well, sheis kam hu yulag ben vayikor eshmo enosh os hucha likro b'shem Hashem. Now, by the way, according to Rashi, this is avodah zarah. And that's why today in all the Nuchamashim we do not stop here, because you're not misaying the Dover Ra. However, in all the old Chamashim, this is the end of the Aliyah, and it's very simple why. Because all of the old Chamashim followed the Targum. And the Targum says, now they began to pray to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's a Dover Toiv. A lot of things we don't realize, we follow the Targum, we don't follow Rashi. The most classic example is this Parsha, Bereshis Bara Elokim. How do we translate the word Bereshis? 99% of the population says, in the beginning. In the beginning is the translation of the Targum. Rashi translates it in the beginning of. Bereshis does not mean in the beginning, it means in the beginning of creation. Creation already began a long time ago. The world was evolving. But during the towards the beginning of. The translation of the precise translation of the word Bereshis according to Rashi is towards the beginning of creation, Hashem created Shemayim Arts, but creation already began long ago. Yeah, it's another one example that the Targum, you have to, don't discount the holy words of the Targum. In any event, according to the Shemin Atov, based upon the Ramban, this is a very powerful Vart. After we go through all of these failures, Adam sins. Okay, so he falls down, he gets back up on his two feet, and he starts again. He has two children, Cain and Hevel. Cain makes a mistake. Cain does tshuva. But then Cain has to pay the price. Cain was later killed. He was killed. So what does Adam do? I have no children anymore, so I have to start all over again. He gets up back on his feet and starts all over again. And he has Sheis. He has a replacement. And then they have Enosh. The pasuk then goes on to say, this is the story of the world. Zeh Sefer Toldos Adam. This is what the world, the history of the world is all about. It's when you fail, you pick yourself up on your two feet, and you start all over again. Adam, Sheva, Yipol, Tzadik, Vikam. A Tzadik will fall down seven times. Seven means the totality of the world. But Vikam, you pick yourself back up on your two feet, and you go forward. We've gone through one mistake after another. But after each mistake, man picks himself back up, starts all over again, and the pasuk says, this is what the world is all about. Zeh Sefer! This is the secret of the book of Toldos Adam. B'yoyim b'ro elokim Adam b'dmus elokim also. Make a mistake, get back up, and start again. Okay, let's maybe do one last vart. Let me give you an example. Tell you the vart with an example. A person, I know this is a true story. It's not a big deal. Someone told me that he, where he works, he has to give the evaluations for his co-employees. They're invited into the office of the supervisor or of the manager. Sit down, tell me you have an employee, you have a co-employee, his name is so-and-so. You work with him, it's all right. It's a shayla of Lashon Hara in a chanami, dealing in a non-Jewish environment. So tell me about him. So the supervisor is sitting with his notepad, and he says, well, he's very reliable. So the supervisor writes, reliable. What else? He's full of emotion. Emotional. He has a lot of patience. Patience. All of the adjectives he told me was like very striking to him, because it's Yeshiv Shagai. Now we live in a world, everything is super inflated, hyperboles, and you name it, and everyone is the God of Hadar, and everyone is the best and the greatest. In the real world, there are no exaggerations. You have something to say, just tell me what you have to. All of the excess, the supervisor is shaved off. He's reliable, he's emotional, he's trustworthy, so on and so forth. Don't tell me very a lot. All those words fall to the side. Hashem creates the world. After each part of creation, Hashem says, Vihine toif. It's good. Toif, 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 toif. It comes to the end of the creation, Vihine toif me'oid. The Torah is kula emes. If something is toiv, you don't need it to be toiv me'oid. So what does it say in the word Torah, tov me'od? Tov in the Torah, this is not the newspaper. If something is toiv, that automatically means it's toiv me'oid. There's nothing more to discuss. Okay, that's one question. Another question. After every single point in creation, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Vihine toif. There's only one part of creation where it does not say the word toif. And that is the creation of man. After the creation of man, it doesn't say, Vihine toif. In fact, it says, Ki yetzer lev ha'odam, rak ra kol hayom. It's the only one that's not toif. A lot of the commentators tell us that the word ma'od are the same letters as Adam. Adam share the same letters as Ma'od. When Hashem concluded creation, Hashem concludes, this is a Jewish, Vihine toiv Ma'od. What Hashem is saying is, every single part of creation is, there's a very big fundamental difference between toiv and Ma'od. Adam is unlimited. That we know. The stars and the moon, they are what they are. There's no room for growth. Hashem created the Shemesh, that's it. It is what it is. The earth, it is what it is. It's not going to grow. It's not going to get better. Adam is Ma'od. There's no limit to what man could accomplish spiritually in this world. Ma'od. At the end of creation, the pasuk says, Vayar lekim es kol asher osa vihine toiv Ma'od. Tov is Hashem's response to the physical world. Ma'od is HaKadosh Baruch Hu's response, definition, Hashem's acknowledgement of man. And Hashem says, it's a good shirach. I created a world, every single part of the world is toiv. Adam is ma'od. This is the world where the ma'od will engage with the toif. Vihine toif. It's a world that's given to man. It's a good shirach. It's a shirach of man and this world. The two will work together to be marbe kavoyt shemayim. Now I want to just prove this idea, just to bring you already to this idea very quickly. We have kain and hevel. Let me read you the words of the pasuk. Hevel, v'hevel hevi gam v'hi miketz yamim rab v'yavi kain mipri ho'adam mincha l'shem. Kain brings mipri ho'adam a gift. V'hevel hevi gam hu mibuchoyos soyna u'michel v'yen. Hevel then brings a carbon from his firstborn animals. Vayisha Hashem al Hevel v'yel minchaso. Hashem turns to Hevel v'yel minchaso. V'yel kain v'yel minchaso loisha. Now here, look what it says in the pasuk. Vayichar lekayin me'ot. Me'ot. You don't need the word me'ot. If Kayin got angry, it means he got angry. You don't need the adjective. I don't need the adjective me'od. Just like you don't need tov me'od. Vayichal l'kayin, vayiplu panav. What does Hashem say to Kayin? Vayom Hashem l'kayin. Lama charolach, v'lama naflu panach. What's the only word that Hashem leaves out in responding me'od? The word me'od. And what does Hashem say to Kayin? Hashem says to Kayin, haloi imtetiv. You're missing the toiv. Halayim teitiv se'etz v'im loy se'etiv v'apesach atas roivetz. Hashem focuses on the word toiv. What's going on? What's going on in this pasuk? So it's not a complete idea, but I think the idea is, why was Kayin hurt? Kayin was hurt that I, the Adam, v'yichar l'kayin, he wasn't just angry. What did he get angry about? The ma'od, v'yichar l'kayin ma'od. His essence was angry. Ma'od is not an adjective. Ma'od is a noun. Al derech drush. Vayichar kayin ma'od. The ma'od, the essence of kayin, was enraged. I offer you a carbon, I serve you a kodesh baruch hu, and you reject me, and you instead turn to my brother? I'm insulted. my essence as a human being that's trying to come close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu has been hurt. Hashem says to Cain, you know why I have rejected you? Is because you're only focusing on the ma'od. You're only focusing on yourself. I created a world, vayar lakim es kol asher asa vihine tov ma'od. You have failed to take into the big picture the tov, meaning to interact with the world, with I don't have the exact words, the idea, but I think there's something over here. In Taitiv says, you're missing the toiv. There's a world and there's a you. The goal is interaction. The reason why I have rejected you is because you just focused on yourself. Taitiv, realize it's not just you and me. I put you in the world to elevate the world. You have this element, you have to understand where that's lacking in his carbon. That has to be elaborate, which I don't know now, but that is lacking. If you'll have the toif in Tatif, Se'es, then the ma'od will be enhanced, and then it will be a proper. But if you don't, then loy tativ. If you're not going to have the tativ, then what's the purpose of the ma'od? Vayaro lakim es kol asher osa v'intaytoyv ma'od. The tafkid of creation is the Adam, who is unlimited ma'od, to interact with the toiv, the good that is here to stay in this world. Have a wonderful Shabbos.